Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today, it's going to be sunny. We'll have a high around 70 degrees. One of the great musicians and music teachers in southeast Wisconsin passed away yesterday.
You're listening to Classic Big Bands and Beyond, and I'm your host, Tim Bell.
Tim Bell died at his home of an apparent heart attack just the night before the 75-year-old retired UW Parkside music faculty member had performed on clarinet with the Racine Concert Band at Park High School. Conductor Mark Eichner said that Bell had even done an extended solo. He says his former colleague was a very much sought-after musician.
He's absolutely top-tier player. He was in demand, and he had more work than he could handle most of his career.
Tim Bell began teaching at Parkside in 1975, set up, in fact, the school's jazz band just a couple of years later. And for the next several decades, he taught music and played professionally. His classic Big Bands and Beyond program premiered on Gateway Public Radio back in 2009. While Bell not only performed with several well-known jazz and big band groups and other performers, so did many of his students who went on to great careers. Students, families, staffers at Racine Unified's Wadowitz Elementary School, a big thank you this week to Kathy Ippolite of Kenosha. She donated $100,000 to help the school build its new playground. She, by the way, is the aunt of Wadowitz teacher Lisa Johnson. Johnson and some of the Wadowitz staffers have been fundraising for about the last year, trying to raise enough money to put together a new playground with equipment. And so far, they've raised about $45,000. So the $100,000 donation is going to come in very handy. In a press release from the school, Wadowitz special ed teacher Krista Munoz says, "We are beyond excited and speechless." Ippolite surprising the group with the check during an in-person visit this week. Racine Unified School Board this week voted to authorize the borrowing of up to $33.5 million over a five-year period toward major facilities and maintenance projects that are on the master list, a business-as-usual approach to operations, even though the state legislature continues to bear down on the district over test scores and Act 10 compliance. Soon-to-be retiring Chief Operations Officer David Hazen telling board members that pending oversight from Madison could be a potential negative, but he noted the district does have a lot of other positives going that'll help when it comes to bonding.
There has not been much talk about what potentially might happen to legislation. I think when we go out this time, I'm going to give Mark a hard time if he doesn't get a higher bond rating, because with Foxconn coming in, that's got to be huge. But then again, the rating agencies always see both sides of the coin. They'll say, that's great, but how are you going to handle all that growth? So they may keep us the same anyway. But those are the kind of things they talk about. Working with Baird is confident that we will maintain our good bond rating. Maybe it would go up.
Meanwhile, the performance contract window is closing by year's end. That because of the state budget. Hazen said three big energy savings projects at about $14.5 million will be coming in for board approval in the coming weeks. School districts like Racine Unified are limited on borrowing to 10% of equalized value. That's $874 million for RUSD. The additional proposed debt service on the projects would add to the current figure of $111 million for debt. And the state's funding of K-12 education, well, it's not keeping pace with expectations toward workforce development, and that includes the newly approved budget. Central High School District Administrator Scott Pierce in Western Kenosha County talking about it. He's also the one-time superintendent of Kenosha Unified. He is also a member of the Gateway Technical College Board. Now, Scott Pierce says that schools with declining enrollment may have to cut programs at a time really when offerings ought to be on the increase.
As we're experiencing reduced student numbers, we're experiencing our budgets being cut and so forth, where there should be an expectation, and there is an expectation that we'd be able to provide more for our students, it's becoming more difficult to do that. And I'm just wondering how, with the future expectations of workforce and the partnerships that we try to develop with Gateway and others, how we're going to be able to help meet those needs.
Pierce telling our partners at Gateway Public Radio his district will have to dip into reserves this fall to balance the budget. Even though the governor maintains the new budget does include a record amount of K-12 education, though the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel points out it does not take into account inflation. New website report on 24/7 Wall Street has Waukesha the 36th best city in the country in which to live, number one in Wisconsin, based on factors like the economy, the level of low crime, also the accessibility and proximity of bars, restaurants, shops, movie theaters, and fitness centers. About 72,000 people live in Waukesha. The average household income is about $56,000, according to the report. Number 48 on the list, Appleton. The overall best city in which to live, according to this, Carmel, Indiana, for high home values, low poverty rate, and most of the residents there have a college education. It's budgeting time for municipalities east of I-94 in Racine County, as well as the Ride Racine Transportation System, formerly known as the Bell Urban System. Service contracts, partnerships, as they're called, factor into the bottom line when it comes to the bus operations. Transit Manager Mike Marley telling the Transit and Parking Commission, Mount Pleasant seemingly accepts the proposed 8.33% increase. Sturtevant's Finance Committee, he indicated, well, the village indicated they're going to be dropping out.
The Sturtevant Finance Committee did not include anything in the in their budget yet. This really makes about 3 years in a row that they've done this. Instead of calling me up and saying, hey, come on out and let's talk about, you know, the agreement, they say, oh, we're going to cancel the agreement. I don't know if that's a negotiating position or whatever.
Marley says he's going to be at the Sturtevant Finance meeting next week with all the numbers they'll need regarding bus service. May even get some of the local business officials to come in and offer their thoughts. That's next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at the Village Hall. Public comment, in fact, about bus service in both Sturtevant and Mount Pleasant affecting routes 20 and 27 will be taken. Racine County residents need to be aware that even though the household hazardous waste event this Saturday, October 21st, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. is going to be taking place, medication collection is no longer being offered at that site off Green Bay Road at 21st Street, next to the Kestrel Hawk landfill. Most local law enforcement agencies, even some pharmacies in Racine County, now are offering that on a permanent collection basis at sites for unwanted medications. They're usually accessible on a daily basis. Residents with quick and easy ways to get rid of the stuff. If you'd like more information, contact either the City of Racine or Central Racine County Health Department. UW Parkside's Continuing Education Department to host a Human Trafficking Breaking the Silence Conference tomorrow morning from 8:15 to 4 in the afternoon at the Student Center. The lineup of keynote and breakout session presenters ranging from human trafficking task force advocates to former victims. Topics to be covered include basic overview of human trafficking, labor trafficking, trauma bonding, as it's referred to, and a look at the problem of human trafficking from the perspective of the survivor. Among those to speak, Neil Lofi, FBI Wisconsin Human Trafficking Task Force member, and Kerry Hemig, the founder executive director of the Fight to End Exploitation Group. You can still register online, uwp.edu/CE, or call 262-595-3340. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section and throughout the day at WRJN News for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.